Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
As I'm sure you have now read or heard or Googled to find out, I was raised Unitarian Universalist over in New York City, where my family and I are back living. I stopped attending church. This might not have shown up in your Googling information. I stopped attending church when I was a teenager, but I found myself miserable during my first year of college, and my mother, in her infinite wisdom, said, "Find the nearest Unitarian Universalist congregation and get yourself there." So the closest one happened to be actually about 40 minutes away. I called up the minister, who was a woman serving this small parish. It just so happened that there was a couple that lived in the town my college was in, and they were willing to drive me on Sunday mornings to this church 40 minutes away. So while my dorm mates slept off Saturday night, I was waiting outside for my ride to church. This little congregation was so different from the one I grew up in. I'd grown up at All Souls in New York, where over 1,000 people are registered as members, where Sunday mornings are just a mass of people everywhere. The space is really traditional Protestant, with pews and high white walls and a magnificent pulpit at the front. This parish I attended in college was like less than 50 members. They met in a living room in an old house on chairs that had definitely seen better days. The congregation I grew up in was sort of UU High Church, if we have such a thing. Every morning, though, we would say the words, "In the freedom of truth and the spirit of Jesus, we unite for the worship of God and the service of all," at All Souls on Sunday mornings. And this little parish in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, was sort of free-form and earth-centered, a little pagan by comparison. The contrast was stark and also liberating. I had heard a call to ministry when I was still quite young. I would sometimes look at the men who served my childhood congregation and think to myself, "I can do that," having no clue what it actually involved, of course. And then there was this television show, and I almost hesitate to admit to you that part of my call came through a television show, but I'm going to tell you. This British comedy, has anyone seen The Vicar of Dibley? Okay, good. If you have not, I highly recommend you go home immediately and watch it. Not literally immediately, but tomorrow. It's about this female priest who gets a call to a small parish in northern England and about the struggles and the triumphs of that service. And I remember watching that and thinking, "I can do that." And then sometime in college, as I worshiped with this small community that affirmed a trans woman's identity with a naming ceremony and that embraced community by creating art together, that sang their hearts out despite their small size, that welcomed this random college student with open arms, somewhere along the line in my time with them, "I can do that" turned into, "I think I have to do that." And while, like many ministers, I ran a little bit from that imperative, ultimately, as you can see, I gave in. I often think that it was experiencing the contrast of those two congregations that made it possible for me to clearly hear my call and to eventually answer it. Because what that difference taught me was a fundamental truth of Unitarian Universalism that I'm not sure I fully grasped as a child. That our focus isn't on what you do or don't believe. Our focus is on how you are in the world. The commitment you make to your community, the commitment you make to changing the world, the commitment you make to deepening your own spiritual understandings, your own vision of existence. Our focus is on the covenant and commitment we make to ourselves, to each other, and to the world beyond our walls. It's a threefold process of looking in, looking at what's right next to us, and then looking ever outward at the big world. And what I learned in the contrast of these congregations is that what lies at the foundation of that covenantal coming together is a deep sense of love. We come by our community by commitment, honestly. It's one of the gifts of our religious forebears. We are a non-creedal, non-dogmatic, covenantal faith, meaning we choose to be together, supporting each other and working alongside each other. For centuries, that is what has helped define us, that we choose to come and participate in communities like this as an expression of our deep sense that we are interconnected beings and that we are creatures that can be our best selves when we are in loving, intentional community with others. For centuries, we have created covenants that offer us freedom of thought and belief while attaching us to behavioral and communal intentions, always with a way to mess up and come back together again. Through covenant that embraces unity and love, we create communities of faith that allow us to fully grasp and fully embrace the gifts our religious ancestors have given us. And so I figured, as a way of introducing myself to you this morning, I would share with you the gifts of Unitarian Universalism as I understand them. Unitarian Universalism encourages us to possess diverse and varied theologies without shame or reprimand. We do not require that anyone believe any particular thing about God or the universe or the afterlife. We are free to use our reason and logic, our senses and our experience, our learning and our reflection, science and fact, to create for ourselves a vision of the world. Our Protestant heritage teaches us that each of us is capable of reading and learning and knowing and interpreting ourselves, that each of us is capable of communing with nature or the divine or whatever word you want to use without mediation. Unitarian Universalism asks us to find ourselves, know ourselves, improve ourselves, even as we recognize that love is available to all of us. We're asked to live deeply and consciously, aware of the choices we are making, aware of the ways our behavior affects others. We're asked to be honest about our flaws and our gifts, and to realize that we are perfect and imperfect all at once, that we have room to grow, and that we are loved just as we are. Our universalist heritage teaches us that we are all worthy of love. They put it that all would be restored to God in the afterlife. Many of us these days would say more broadly that there is a force of love that permeates existence and that it is available to every one of us, wherever we are on our journey, whatever we have done or have yet to do. Unitarian Universalism gives us the chance to get better and better at relationships. Congregational life that is based on a chosen commitment to each other, a covenant, helps us practice what it means to behave well in company, to ask forgiveness and offer it, to practice patience, and to improve our communication skills. Not everyone sees committee life this way, but this is how I see committee life. It is a proving ground for becoming more skilled in our interactions with others. We are asked to see the best in other people, even as we help them grow and allow them to help us grow. Both our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors understood that community was vital, that it is both a privilege and a responsibility to participate in a community of trust and love and growth. They knew that promises were made to be kept, and that even so, as human beings, they might occasionally be broken, but that we have the ability to offer each other understanding and love and forgiveness so that we can keep growing together. Unitarian Universalism assures us that we are not alone in our journey. Side by side with us in our congregations and out in the wider world, are people who, though diverse in theology, share the same commitments to justice, to the journey of understanding that each of us undertakes, to clear and open-hearted living, and they are committed to be with us and support us. We're also given the gift of the chance to support others as they make their journey. Unitarians saw the oneness of all things by seeing the oneness of their God. Universalists saw that all of us were children of their God, siblings, regardless of theology or gender or race or sexual orientation or economic status or nationality or anything else. Our ancestors knew that companionship, though sometimes very challenging, teaches us to be our best selves, allows us the chance to flourish because we know we have a home to belong in. Unitarian Universalism affirms that every person has the capacity for great good, that each of us is born with the potential to change the world, that we aren't born sin-filled and destined for evil, but rather that we are filled with possibility, filled with the possibility for a destiny of great good. Unitarians didn't believe that humanity had to be saved from some original sin out of the Garden of Eden, but that we need to be led toward light and right choices by truth tellers and prophets and by the person sitting side by side with us. Our ancestors knew that our circumstances, our education, our upbringing, our place in society all affect our choices, and that each person still has the capacity for great good. Each person is born a child with love and promise suffusing their being. Unitarian Universalism demands that we move beyond our own growth, beyond our congregational setting. It demands that we look to the betterment of the entire world. No small task, certainly, and one that begins in our little corner of the world. We inherit a call to see the world, to see it for what it is, to see the damage being done around the world by selfishness and greed, by despotism and dictatorships, by violence and cruelty. We are called to look out and see the broken places of the world and to work as hard as we can to help heal it. We are gifted with the support and encouragement and indeed a mandate to participate in bending the arc of the universe toward justice, as Martin Luther King made famous, adapted from the Unitarian preacher Theodore Parker. Our Unitarian and our Universalist ancestors both understood that whatever came next after this life, we had a duty to make this earth as much like heaven as we possibly could. That we had a duty to our siblings of humanity to try to make this world just for all of us. Make sure that we all have a voice. Make sure that we are all safe and loved and given opportunities. We come by the gifts of our ancestors honestly, and they are gifts that I am convinced are needed now more than ever. We live in a time of political divisiveness. We live in a time of continued violence in our world. I was actually thinking about today's sermon, and I realized that since beginning my career in ministry about 4 years ago, I have been lifting up the tragedy in Syria in sermon and prayer that entire time. For 4 years, there's been a steady, ongoing humanitarian crisis. And recently, as I'm sure you all know, our leadership decided the answer was to close our borders and drop bombs on the people forced to remain there. Healthcare in our nation is at risk for many. Strides we have made in civil rights and equality are at risk. Young black men continue to suffer disproportionately at the hands of our system. Trans people continue to be devalued and put at risk. Corporations have rights we refuse to grant to individuals. The environment is now at greater risk as climate change deniers make their way into the highest levels of government. Voting rights laws are being circumvented. Immigrants are being treated terribly. The list goes on and on. And as I'm sure you have by now heard, even in our own denomination of Unitarian Universalism, white supremacy and power abuse exist. Even we, with our commitment to justice and anti-racism, can be guilty of perpetuating systems of oppression. The world seems hell-bent on embracing violence and selfishness and greed and corruption, tribalism and close-mindedness and self-righteousness. And so the picture painted is a little bit bleak, of a world not making progress, of a time of hopelessness and failure. But here's one final gift that Unitarian Universalism gives us, and that is hope. I reject the idea that the world is unsavable. I reject the idea that the world is broken beyond repair. Because the commitment, the unity, the love, the belief in second chances and salvation for all, the deep knowledge that humanity has the capacity to make good choices, to do right, to make the world better, all of that, all of those gifts of our religious ancestors conspire to fill me with hope. The same hope that had our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors working against slavery, working for the rights of women, marching for civil rights. The same hope that had our Unitarian Universalist siblings marching at the Women's March in January, marching yesterday in the climate marches, writing letters, calling senators and other local officials, working to provide for refugees, working to spread acceptance and welcome, working to ensure that our religious spaces are welcoming to all people. I am filled with hope for what we can accomplish as Unitarian Universalists exactly because we start from a place of believing in possibility and in goodness and in unity and in love. Exactly because we make commitments and know how to keep them, even as we hold each other accountable for the mistakes that will inevitably be made. Exactly because we know how to tell the truth even if people aren't quite ready to hear it. Exactly because we are committed to being gentle and living kindly and spreading compassion and widening our circles of love. Unitarian Universalism calls us to never give up, but to be filled continually with hope. It is easier said than done. It takes work to be hopeful, but we have been given a set of gifts, tools even, as Unitarian Universalists that help us to remain hopeful. And as a result, we have a vital gift to offer the wider world, the gift of hope grounded in deep love. We are called to do nothing less than offer this loving hope in every way we can, everywhere we can, across this wide world.